Now joined by our mate from Morning Glory, Matty John's on the line. G'day, Matty.
How are you, lads?
Very. What have you been doing, Matty? We had the week off. How'd you get to spend that?
Mate, I had a few days down at Hobart, which I duck down there occasionally. I love it down there. I like the cold, so I loved it. And Sock would have been there a lot. Went over to Bell Reef. Beautiful, mate.
Salamanca Bay.
Oh, Salamanca, just beautiful. And some of those little towns, Richmond, which is an old... See, it was funny. I went to Richmond, this really historic town. There's one old pub in there. I walk in there and there's Justin Holbrook.
Oh.
So, yeah. Might have been drowning his sorrows. But he's there. He's an old teammate of mine. So I caught up with Titsy while he was down there. So, but I, mate, I love it down there. And Dark Mofo was on down there. I didn't go to Dark Mofo, but there was some interesting types getting around.
Hang on a minute.
I went this time last year, Matty, and you go in there, you've got the food hall. You didn't go into the food hall in the centre there at Salamanca Bay. You go in there and you get... No? Didn't bother.
I didn't. Some of the sites in around there, Sock, by the time I sort of got down there, there were some people who, well, put it this way, they weren't playing 2020 cricket. It's like they were playing a five-day test match. They were flying.
I tell you what, boys, if we wake up to the news that the Gold Coast Titans have done a demolition job on the Knights, there will be a massive inquiry. There'll be secret photos of Matt Johns down there with Justin Holbrook, Knights legend. Has the secret behind beating the Knights. This could be a big story, Matt.
Yeah. Greatest player in Newcastle history, unloads secrets at historic pub.
That's right. Now, my spies tell me, because Sock come in, he was waxing lyrical about the fact that he's now seen Top Gun, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we've spoken about that great film. But have you gone one better or not?
Oh, look, Elvis, the Elvis movie, Baz Luhrmann, so I just loved it. It was so good. And it was like the old days of the cinema. We went... Monday at 4 o'clock. So Monday at 4 o'clock, you expect, these days you've got the cinema to yourself.
Yeah.
Mate, there was a 50 or 60 metre lineup to get in at Warriewood to the box office. I said to my wife, I said, this is just like the old days of a big movie premiere almost. And it honestly, a lot of the critics, here's the thing about it, right? So the critics were saying, some of the critics, the movie is typical Baz Luhrmann. It's a mess, impossible to follow. If you can't follow this movie, you don't know who Elvis Presley is and don't know about his life. It is fantastic. It is so well done. Austin Butler, who plays Elvis.
Cool,
mate,
dude.
Seriously. So cool. And Academy Award type performance.
Wow.
He's amazing in it. I just thought the movie was great, the whole thing.
How'd they get around the toilet scene at the end?
Yeah, they sort of left that one out, you know. It's never a happy end dying on the bogger.
No.
It's funny of people, right?
Well, I couldn't think of anywhere better.
It's like, you know, there's certain places you don't want to die. One is, like, you don't want to die in a motor inn.
No.
Like that, it's always a bad one. Stephen O'Keefe found Denny Mayer. Everyone goes, whoa, mate, I wonder what he was up to. But as I was walking out of the cinema, I said to my wife, we'll have a bit of fun here. And I walked past this old woman and said, spoiler alert, he dies at the end.
Didn't take it too well.
She blew up. She goes, oh, thanks very much.
Oh, yes. Mate, we're going this Saturday. Can't wait. Can't wait for
it's
that.
Awesome.
I've heard big things.
It's awesome.
He's done, Baz Luhrmann did The Great Gatsby, and the church that's up on the hill, the ICMS church, it's up there, is where they shot the film or Great Gatsby's house.
Up
which is up there.
In Manly there.
So whenever I have friends or family, I take them up there and say, this is one of the scenes of one of the great movies.
Mm. There's no doubt he makes great movies, like Romeo and Juliet was phenomenal, Great Gatsby. The one that he probably, you know, that he erred on a little bit was Australia. That was... Mm. You know, it apparently did well at the box office, but my mail was that it was, and they reckon, Sock, when he handed over the film to the editors, it was like 5 or 6 hours, and they had to knock it back, and by all reports, they just got lost in it. Yeah. But mate, Elvis is, I think, his best work.
Yeah, he always does a good soundtrack too. Like, even if the movie's no good, he's like his soundtrack is unbelievable. Yeah,
there's a lot of good Elvis songs in this one.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of those things you go, you know, I'm going to go buy the soundtrack. Yeah, hang on. I've already got it.
Hey, you know, fun fact, Lady Gaga did the soundtrack for the pieced all the music together for Top Gun.
Yeah, she does a song at the end.
She put all the music together. Matty, did you catch any football over the weekend? You probably didn't, did you?
No, I did. I did catch it over the weekend. I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed the New Zealand versus Tonga game. And I'm going to talk about this tonight on the show, in the fact that the emergence of Tonga as a powerhouse nation rugby league has sort of overshadowed what a really good side New Zealand had.
Oh, yeah.
When you had a look on paper at New Zealand, you went, wow. You just sort of forgot about the Kiwis a little bit. And they were fantastic. Joey Manu was, mate, he was on fire. Jerome Hughes was brilliant. Brandon Smith, as per usual, always good. Tonga were good. Tonga, given the amount of ball the Kiwis had an opportunity, Tonga really defended well. 26-6, you know, sounds like it was pretty straightforward, but they really dug in. The only thing that cost Tonga was the fact that they just have inexperienced players in the creative positions. But it was really good, and of course, the State of Origin brilliant as well. And 44-12, once again, you just go, oh mate, it was all one way traffic. But there was that defining period just before half time, where there was numerous six agains called, dodgy penalty, I reckon, against Val Holmes, and then Kafusi to the sin bin. That defined the contest, because all they did during that period, Queensland, was just scramble and defend, and they were done.
If you're Freddie, Matty, is it as easy as, okay, Talakai's had a taste, we'll think about him for next year, Jack comes in on the bench, and that's about all she wrote? Is that what you think could happen, or how do you see it?
Righto, I'll ask you this. Righto, let's... If you're Queensland, right, you're an ardent Queensland supporter. If Latrell Mitchell has a blinder Saturday night, right, two tries and is just absolutely brains him, do you want Latrell Mitchell picked for New South Wales? Like, I would say they would when the team
they don't.
Was ready,
they don't want him, of course.
They don't want it. No. Right? They wouldn't want that. Back in the day, put it this way, if they had this in the same position, it was Mal Meninga or Gene Miles. And they went out and had a blinder. Would they pick him in the third game? Well, of course they could. And I just think if Latrell goes out there and brains it, I've got to put him in. You know, you're going up there, hostile territory, got to put him in. And then the decision is, righto, who plays 14 is a White or Burton. Both players can cover numerous positions. That's the tough decision. But if Latrell brains him, I pick him.
The hard part is they're all lefties, aren't they? I suppose Latrell could play on the right, but it's a very tricky one. What about Joey Manu? So Robbo's having a throw at the stumps. They're in critical moments at the moment, the Roosters. Yes. He's gone to six. You as a former six, Matty, do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it. The other night with the Kiwis, he played one, but he popped up all over the place like a six. And he's just so dangerous through the middle. Excuse me. That's the thing, right? I like Manu and picked in the six in this game because I think that the Roosters have just been a little bit too sideways this year. They've almost fallen in. Like, they're a very organised side, and that sort of worked them against them a little bit. Mm. By putting Manu into the six, I think allow him to freewheel through the middle. Mm. So you've got... If you're a middle defender, you've got to deal with Manu and Tedesco popping up through the middle. And it'll bring a different style of football to the Roosters, but I think it'll work really well.
No Munster tonight. Is that no worries? Pap's back. How do you see the Storm versus Seagulls?
Mate, well, I look and, you know, Pappenhausen is back, first game back, but, you know, he'll hit the ground running. The big one is Jerome Hughes. Jerome Hughes... His development in the last 18 months, he's just going from strength to strength. Some of his plays in the game the other night for the Kiwis were just some of his touches, some of his kicks. A couple of people said to me, I can smell an upset. I just don't know where it comes from. I just, you know, this one tonight, I just don't see it in Manly. I think the Storm win. I think there'll be a bit of a fight on. I don't think they'll blow them away, but I just can't see Manly beating the Storm.
Tell you what, Harper's in for a big night. He had that battle with Talakai. He's got Justin Olam coming at him tonight. Good luck, Morgan. What about Panthers and the Roosters? Are they any chance the Roosters or this clinical Panthers, Matty, just march on their merry way?
Well, just what I said before, like when you look at, if you look at Manu and Tedesco going through the middle, they could cause a real lot of problems and take that engine away from the Panthers. I mean, they rely, every side relies on the go forward. If that, look, put it this way, the Roosters need 55% split in possession. They need to win the yardage game. And I reckon they need the Panthers to just pick down a little bit. If the Panthers, my gut feel is, I just like the way Nathan recalibrated his game in game two. You saw it in game one, right? I get the fact that he had no space, but Nathan's attitude, sometimes when I reckon he slips into every now and all halves do, is their pass first, run second. And Nathan, when Nathan's in a, when he's running the football, you go, yeah, he's on, he's an aggressive frame of mind. And in that game one, he was doing a lot of passing. He was sitting behind on sweep plays off his middle forwards, and it just restricted him. When he played Newcastle, the game after the disappointment of Origin 1, he went to Newcastle and blew Newcastle away with his running game, and he carried that on. He sort of recalibrated his game in the second half. He was catching the ball flat on the advantage line, opened up his options, and I just, you know, put it this way. I think the Roosters will be, they'll improve a fair bit. I like what they're going to do with Manu and Tedesco, but one team's got Nathan Clear and the other doesn't.
I've got a bit of a theory, Matty, which I'd love your views on, relating to that calibration of Cleary you talk about. So he's lost five State of Origins, Cleary. Those five State of Origins, there were eight dummy half runs, 15, 10, 7, 12. So in other words, shitloads. Yep. You get Appy in the side. They only ran for four or five runs last game. Their big win before last year, 26-0, four dummy half runs. The 50-6 job, two dummy half runs. He needs to be in control. He just needs the dummy half to pass well, guide the team around, and he takes the reins. The dummy half running all day throws him out. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, because once you've got your foot in the door, right, the dummy half either feeds you the ball or he takes the space himself. And once the ruck really starts rolling, the sort of half, it's very easy to lose control of the set, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, you want momentum, but when it's just like, you know, Cook goes and someone else goes and someone else goes, it's very hard to pick up on the back of that, particularly on with Nathan. Is I reckon some of those losses, if you watch how he'll play, he's sitting off the middle forwards. So you'll see Yo and Trbojevic go up, look short, and Nathan is the second option sweeping around the back. Now, this is going to be the really tricky thing for Penrith, because for Nathan to play his best football, and I think for Penrith to go to the next level, and some people say if it's not break, don't change it, but you know, I just think this is an opportunity for Penrith to jump another level, is Nathan playing more flat and on the advantage line. Now, the thing's going to be with Penrith, they've got to work a way to not minimise Isaiah Yeo. What they've got two of the most intelligent players in the competition operating in the same space, and probably both of them playing the role that the other one plays best. Now, if they can work out a way to do that, mate, they'll be unstoppable.
Let me ask you one final question, Matty. Who's leading the Wally Lewis medal at this point? Of course, Cleary was nowhere in game one. Munster got the man of the match there, vice versa in game two. Others have been consistent in both. Who do you think is currently leading the Wally Lewis medal?
I'll probably say by a fraction, Munster.
Yeah.
By a fraction, because I thought Munster, until he got hurt the other night, I thought he was strong. He was a handful again. So I'll say Munster, but only by a fraction. Whoever plays best in game three will get it.
Yeah, unless Teddy has a block. Teddy's been close in both games as well.
He's been very, very good.
Well, Matty, just quickly, what's on tomorrow? Morning Glory, you're back on there thanks to Harley Heaven. Adventure begins with a ride on a Harley Davidson. What have you got tomorrow?
Well, the movie of the week is Gung Ho, which was Michael Keaton's movie from the 80s. It was in the only country in the world that was known as Working Class Man, because the theme was Working Class Man by Jimmy Barnes, but it's an American movie. We do that. the album of the week is Jack Johns Comes On Does Beggar's Banquet by the Rolling Stones. We're going to preview, talk about Origin, Webster. We've got Den and Kemp on. It's all happening, boys.
Beautiful, mate. We appreciate your time on this Thursday afternoon. We'll tune in tomorrow from 9 o'clock.
Good on you, Socky. Good on you, Joel.
There he is, Matty Johns, on fire, as per your big league program.